Hello, and we hope you'll stay with us for a little while today as we study from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 11, and we're going to study about people complaining to God and complaining before God and complaining unnecessarily about God. We're going to learn how God views that, and is that profitable? Is that a good thing for us to complain to God when we have no reason to complain? Numbers chapter 11, we're going to talk about complaining today and how God views complaining. In Numbers 11, verse 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." I mean, the Bible can really tell you and get to the point in just a few words. The people complained, it displeased the Lord. So what did they do? They complained. What was God's reaction? God's reaction was he was displeased. "And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp." Immediately God reacted. It made him very unhappy to hear his people complaining. And so he immediately sent fire, and it consumed them in the uttermost part of the camp. So they were complaining. Sometimes it's called murmuring, and it's really just a grumbling, a deep displeasure. God had been so generous to them. He was giving them manna 6 days a week. He was giving them all the supplies that they needed. You know, God tells us in that beautiful Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." And after all the good that God had done for Israel, how did they reward God? They complained. They complained. He was making them to lie down in peace. He was leading them out into freedom from the bondage of Egypt. And what did they do? They complained. They responded by griping and grumbling. Now, is this the right way to respond to God? To gripe about what he has given them? No wonder he sent fire, and it burned them in the uttermost parts of the camp. No wonder he did that. That is rude. Imagine going to someone's house and them giving you a bowl of ice cream, and then you complain about it. You complain you didn't have any chocolate sprinkles to put on it, and you complained and were very unhappy. That would be so rude. And that's how God was treated. He was treated rudely. Well, what happened after he sent the fire? Well, the Bible says, "And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." Oh, the people who knew who to go to, they went to Moses. They didn't always like Moses, but now they're in trouble. God's sending fire. And so they go to the one that they know has a good relationship with God. And they wanted his help. And Moses prayed, and the Lord heard the prayer. And amazingly, the fire immediately was quenched. And so God answers prayer sometimes very quickly. And he stopped the fire. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And so they were complaining, and it's a serious thing to complain. Very serious. Don't think it's light to complain to God and to complain about God's blessings. Have you ever complained? Oh, it's raining too much. Oh, it's too hot. The wind's blowing too hard. These are things that God has sent. God sends the rain. God sends the wind and the sunshine. Let's be happy with these blessings. Let's cease from complaining. But there was a mixed multitude in Numbers 11 and verse 4. We read about them in Exodus 12 and verse 38. They left Egypt with the Israelites. We don't know a lot about them, but they were not full-blooded Israelites or descendants of Abraham. They were a mixed group of people. And in Numbers 11 and verse 4, it says, "The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So they started complaining again. And they were weeping of all things. They were crying. Oh, they were so mistreated by God that they wept that they didn't have the meat that they used to have in the land of Egypt. And it says in verse 5 of Numbers 11, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." And so they began to complain. Funny how they remembered the good stuff back in Egypt. They remembered the fish. They remembered the melons and the garlic and the onions. Funny how they remembered the good things, but they didn't remember the bad things. They didn't remember the taskmasters making their work rigorous and hard. Funny how they did not remember the mud pits where they had to make the bricks to build the cities for the Egyptians. Funny how they didn't remember how the male children were destroyed by the Egyptians. Funny how they didn't remember all of that evil that God delivered them from. They just remembered the food of all things. Then in Numbers 11 and verse 7 it says, they continued to complain about the manna. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals. You could make a flour out of it. And beat it in a mortar. You could make dough out of it. And bake it in pans and make cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. In Exodus 16 and 31, it said it tasted like wafers made with honey. And God delivered it to them every day, 6 days out of the week, when the dew, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Free food. And yet they're complaining about it. They're complaining that they're getting tired of it. That's how they're responding to God. And God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it at all. Then Moses, verse 10, heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? You know, this was a great responsibility for Moses, and he begins to ask God, why did you afflict me with all these people whining and griping? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Everybody was complaining to Moses, huge numbers of people, belly aching, and it was getting to Moses. He was feeling the pressure. And this is very serious. The people did not make Moses' job easy. They made it difficult. And they were complaining about God's blessing as well. And Moses goes on to say in chapter 12, "Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers?" I'm just like a nursing father nursing these children, and they're crying and they're whining, and they were being rude and ingratitude and selfish and unrighteous and sinful. And he says in verse 13, "Whence should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat." And so it's frustrating Moses. Moses is trying to be a good leader, but the people continue to complain unto him. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews concerning the elders of the church that they should be obeyed. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, it says, I'm sorry, verse 17, Hebrews 13 and 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." And so we need to remember, don't give God's servants a hard time. They were looking back at what they had before. You know, Jesus said something about looking back. He said, looking back is not good. In Luke 9 and 62, he said, "Whosoever shall put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." There's nothing in the past. The past is past. And that can help you looking back into the past. Don't look at what you had before. Look ahead. Look to the future. And so looking back is deadly. No man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. That will always be true. The past cannot be better than our future. So do not complain about God's blessings. It made Moses' life miserable. And he says in Numbers 11 and 14, "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. It's too much of a burden, too big of a responsibility. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness." And so Moses felt helpless. They were asking for meat. Probably around 3 million people. Asking for meat. How would he have enough meat to feed all of those people? But God watches over us, and he is able to provide. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open to their supplication. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And God never changes. He's always going to be the same. And so God was going to help Moses. He gave him 70 helpers in verse 16. "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. You know, we need others to help us. That's why God's given us the church. He doesn't want us to face life alone. He's given man a wife to help him. The man helps the wife. The wife helps the man. But God's also given us the church that we may help one another. And so God gave Moses the help that he needed. But God was angry, and God burnt the people. God was severe. Romans 11 and verse 22 says, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." God can be very good, but God can be very severe. You know, there's more in the Bible about the punishment of God than there anything else. God has a lot of records of his punishment, and we've just read some. These people continued to disobey God over and over. And all through the Bible, God brought punishment. He punished Cain. He punished the generation of Noah with a flood. He destroyed the world. He punished Sodom and Gomorrah. He punished Egypt with the plagues. He punished the Amorites by causing them to lose in the battle. God caused his people Israel to defeat 32 kings. God brought down the destruction of Jericho. God caused Israel to destroy the Philistines. Nineveh was destroyed because it was a bloody city. Samaria was destroyed in 2 Kings 17 because it was idolatrous. Jerusalem was destroyed in 2 Kings 24 because it disobeyed God. Babylon was destroyed. Many people in the Bible were destroyed and punished by God. And so do not be convinced by those who say God is so good he would never punish anyone eternally. That's not true. And so complaining is a serious matter. Now, what has that got to do with us today? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, these people are given as an example for us. They are recorded for you and I. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse number 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." You imagine there, Christ is in the Old Testament. He's following the children of Israel. But notice this. So that record is found again in our New Testaments. And watch why it is. Verse 5. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." We've just read that. "Now these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them." You know, they built the golden calf. "As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." That's when they made that golden calf in Exodus 32. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Then now watch verse 9. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." So God destroyed them for murmuring, for complaining. We've just read it in our Bibles. And then it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, lest he become a castaway, lest God cast you away. So the lesson we should learn is Numbers 11 is written for our learning. Now, don't be a complainer. You know, God wants his people to be thankful. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, "In everything give thanks." Why? It is God's will for us. It is not God's will that we complain. The right mind of a Christian is one who is thankful. We are thankful. We have a thankful mind. We don't have a complaining mind. That's the wrong mind. The right mind is to be a thankful mind. And so a Christian is to be a thankful person. This sin of complaining is rampant in our generation. People are complaining and they complain every day. And if we're not careful, we'll be complaining right along with them. Christians are thankful people. Christians are long-suffering people. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it was very painful, but he never complained. Never complained on the cross. We're to follow his example. In 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23, the Apostle Paul lists all the sufferings that he had, the beatings, the stonings, the threatenings, and yet he did not complain. In Acts 5, when the apostles were beaten, they rejoiced that they could suffer shame for the name of Christ. Christians are to be happy people. Complaining people are not happy, they're miserable. If we're in the hospital, don't complain. Be thankful you have a hospital to go to. Be thankful that in the hospital there are doctors and there are nurses and there are people to help you. Don't complain in the hospital. If your car breaks down, don't complain. Be glad you have a car. A lot of people in our world today, they don't have hospitals. They don't have cars. But if we have a car breakdown, be thankful you've got a car. It'll get fixed. If all we have is a loaf of bread, don't complain. Be glad that you have food. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we're to be a happy people, a thankful people. Complaining angers God, and it should anger us. God punishes complaining. He destroyed the sinners just as he destroyed people who made a golden calf in Exodus 32. They were destroyed in Exodus 32 for building an idol. And in Numbers 11, they were destroyed for complaining. Those two sins are of equal violation of God's will. Don't violate God's will. Don't be a complainer. Be a thankful person. Be a happy person. Rejoice. Over and over, the Bible tells us to rejoice and be glad and give thanks. I'm glad to be able to study with you today, and glad that you tuned in, and I hope and pray that you'll be a happy person and not a complaining person. You'll rejoice and be glad for your wonderful blessings, and you'll give God thanks. You won't be like the unthankful Israelites and the mixed multitude also, and gripe and complain. Thank you for tuning in today. Have a happy day. Rejoice that you have a day. Rejoice that we're able to live in peace and freedom right now. Thank you for tuning in. This is Richard Massey, who I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. If you're ever in our area, please come by and see us and visit with us for worship. And thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time. God bless. Bye for now.